You know, there's nothing like birds in spring telling you that summer's coming. And Mayor Lori Lightfoot, a.k.a. Mayor Phallus Maximus, keeps telling us in her strident bird voice, sounds like a velociraptor, of the summer of joy. Just wait for it, she says.
Till Memorial Day and our summer, it will be the summer of joy in Chicago. And folks, just wait till Memorial Day and our summer, it will be the summer. And folks, just wait till Memorial Day and our summer, it will be the summer of joy in Chicago.
The Cardinals are out in the backyard and robins pick for worms in the vegetable garden. And these are the sounds of joy in spring. And of course, if you live in Chicago, you hear those other sounds. Not the morning birds, not the cardinals or the robins. You hear the night birds. And those night birds, they bring death and they bring pain. A while ago, you could count on news columnists to fill up a column or two with whimsy of spring. You know the kind of column I'm talking about. Most often written by librarians with too many cats in their apartments. But even though I don't like cats, I did it too. And I'm not a librarian. The joys of spring, the odes to spring. I'd write about the garden. But you don't need that now. You don't need columnists to tell you when spring's coming. You don't even need those cardinals and robins. All you need to do to look at the summer that's to come and the warming weather right now in spring, all you need to do is to look into the eyes of a Chicago Fire Department paramedic after a shift. They take their shoes off outside the home. Why? Because they don't want to track the blood or brains in that they just stepped in. I know a guy, a friend, who'd stand out on his back porch alone with his wife and kids asleep inside and think about what he'd just seen. And he could see it there, standing on the porch. He could see it, the river of violence that Chicago has become. The pain, the victims floating away in that river, their names in the news, and then forgotten, making way for the new names of new victims, whose names will also be forgotten, because that's how that Chicago River of Violence works. The river bears them away. Like that 23-year-old culinary student, Tacola Early, shot for his phone in Lincoln Park. In Lincoln Park! On Webster. Yeah. You've seen the video? Of course you did. And just a few years ago, I'd write about the victims and wonder if Chicago really cared about crime, since most of the victims were black and brown, and many of them were what I called imperfect victims, since they weren't like Hydea Pendleton. But their blood was spilled on the south and north, south and west sides just the same. And their mothers weep just the same. And now blood is on the street in Lincoln Park and downtown and on the L. And now I think Chicago cares about crime. But does Kim Fox care about crime? The state's attorney? The prosecutor? Well, you know, she does have a big heart full of compassion, trembling with pain. Perhaps not for the victims of violent crime, but her heart goes out to her fellow Soros-backed colleague, San Francisco prosecutor Chesa Boudin and his family. They're mourning the loss of Kathy Boudin. Kathy was a terrorist with the leftist Weather Underground. She helped knock off an armored car, $1.6 million robbery for the Black Liberation Army. If you were alive today, I could see her outside the house of conservative Supreme Court justices. Just waiting there. You know, not doing any crime. Just waiting there. Letting them know she's out there. Here's what Kathy Boudin did that Kim Fox didn't mention. She coaxed two cops into lowering their weapons at that violent armored car robbery. And when they lowered their weapons, Boudin's accomplices killed them both, shot them down, both. Two cops. Their names? Their names that Kim Fox didn't mention? Their names were Sergeant Edward O'Grady and Officer Waverly Brown. But here's Kim Fox tweeting and honoring Kathy Boudin. Quote, she worked to offer services and support to those managing the criminal justice system, all the while championing restorative justice practices. Restorative justice, managing the system. What a crock. I'm sure that Kim squirted a few tears writing that, demonstrating her support to Chesa Boudin and to the family of Chesa Boudin and the people who raised him with Kathy in prison. You know what you don't read in the papers? Chesa Boudin was raised by wolves in Chicago. Raised by William Ayers and Bernadine Dorn of the Weather Underground. While Kathy Boudin was in prison, they raised him up good. They raised him up to be the Soros prosecutor in San Francisco. And you know what? Ayers and Dorn had political clout, so they didn't have to worry. Ayers' daddy was the boss of Commonwealth Edison, and he found a spot at the University of Illinois, Chicago. And Bernadine Dorn found a nice spot, too. After the revolutionary stuff, she ended up at Northwestern University. Yeah. Talking about criminal justice reform. But you know what, Kim? You make no mention of the murdered officers O'Grady and Brown, and yet you wonder why cops hold you in such contempt? But it's not all bad, Kim. Mayor Lori Lightfoot has endorsed you. She endorsed you for re-election. And now you're the state's attorney of Cook County. And Tony Preckwinkle, who runs the Cook County government, is your boss and patron. And you never see Tony mentioned much in the editorials when they talk about crime. Isn't that funny? The violence spreads, and Lightfoot's summer of joy begins, and the nightbirds sing their songs of death. Where are you, as Jeff Carlin of WGN Radio, master of cats, master of sound, future physics teacher, joins me here on this podcast? And I'm John Cass, husband, father, Greek Orthodox Christian, editor-in-chief of your favorite website, johncassnews.com. Where are you? You're on the Chicago Way. You're looking up at the broken streetlight, and it's night. And you wonder, you're in Lincoln Park, and you're wondering, should I get out of my car? In Lincoln Park, you have to wonder, will I be robbed, shot down like a dog from my phone? You're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
The Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Hello, Jeff Carlin. It's the beginning of May. Are you ready for Lori Lightfoot's Summer of Love?
Right. Summer of Love. I thought that was a
Summer of Joy. Sorry.
Yeah. Summer of Joy is what she's calling it. And her definition of joy is probably different from mine. I would assume we have different tastes. We're different people. But I think she may have brought forth an irony that is not felt by people, or is felt by people who are like paramedics or people who are first responders or loved ones, or I don't know, random people who are getting shot in the city every weekend by 30 or more now that the weather's warming up. So I think their definition of joy is different from hers.
So nothing like saving up some money, going downtown to watch Moulin Rouge on a Sunday.
Right.
Last Sunday?
Yeah.
Where they had to cancel it because of a shootout. And more shootouts on Wabash, and then during the day, and then now we have this kid, young guy, 23 years old,
yeah,
in Lincoln Park.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just I like looking forward to the city, and people always talk about Chicago. Oh yeah, you love it for the warm weather. Right. Or it's those few weeks we get, or, you know, when people have their calendars, or we have 10 weeks of whatever, or 12 weeks. And working in the media, it's almost become almost like Groundhog Day. I mean, you know that, oh, it's May, the calendar's turning over May, and here come the 40 plus people shot every weekend.
Yeah. And no real response from her. Although I have to say that, you know, I repeat again and again, Lori Lightfoot is responsible. She's the mayor of Chicago, and her mishandling of police. I know they're trying to blame David Brown, but she's the mayor. She's in charge. She's directing priorities. And still, even though she deserves heat, what fascinates me is that the other players in this drama that allow the sense of lawlessness in Chicago to continue are not held to account. And by them, I mean State's Attorney Kim Fox, Kim Fox's patron, Tony Preckwinkle, who is bragging about how she's, you know, reduced the size of the jail.
Right.
And not that I want people thrown in prison for, you know, stealing a loaf of bread, but maybe if you've had 15 arrests with UUWs, maybe right. It's time you go away a little bit on the L, you know, maybe it's time.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's, and we've talked about this too. It's this nearsightedness that, you know, if they're grabbing a headline saying, hey, we're going to eliminate bail, or we're going to release all these people, or put recognizance, electronic monitor, all these great headlines that make it sound like there's a lot being done. But it's so nearsighted in the fact that, okay, yeah, the system has been broken, and there are lots of people in jail for being poor or being they can't afford this, or all sorts of terrible reasons that they shouldn't be in jail for as long as they are, and there's a bias there to poor, that impacts poor people and who are almost always minorities in most cases. But there's the flip side of that. The flip side is the criminals know what you're doing, and the criminals are blatantly using it. To thwart progress. And you didn't see that coming. There wasn't a plan in place to say, well, we're going to, you know, e-bonds and e-bail is going to be for these types of crimes, or we're going to parse it out to say it's this type of that crime or that type of crime, or we're going to maybe audit the people who are in jail for whatever they are. No, we're just going to blanket do this, and violence and victims be damned. I mean, how dense are they?
And, well, you know, you've asked some reasonable and good questions here. Why aren't the papers asking those same questions?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know.
I I'm not calling for a campaign against Kim Fox or Tony Preckwinkle. And as far as I'm concerned, Tom Dart is acquiesced to the point where he's gone along with it so long that, you know, he's part of it. But I would expect that the editorial boards, I used to be a member of one, would not just do the surface attack on Lori, even though she deserves it, but mm-hmm. also dig deeper and to find out why is Kim Fox, you know, a progressive? Why is she such a progressive that she's breeding lawlessness? What does this really mean? And what is Tony Preckwinkle's role in all this? But Jeff, I can't for the life of me figure out why the papers are giving Preckwinkle and Fox a pass while Lori is being pummeled, and she deserves being pummeled. But
right. No,
I'm just trying to be journalistically fair here.
Right.
And I don't see people being fair to the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The silence is deafening to that question is that the silence there on their behalf. Why? I mean, granted, there are certainly some people in the city who do ask questions like that, but most of them wind up being pushed aside or drowned out by the masses. But these are things that average people, that we post stuff on the podcast or on Facebook or whatever, people post stuff and then they say the same things, like actual people. So that would lead me to believe that somebody is somewhere omitting it on purpose. And I don't know who that would be, but I'm sure a little bit of sunshine would clear the air.
Is it possible?
Okay.
That the reason they don't hold Kim Fox and Tony Preckwinkle to account is that they're afraid of who's backing them?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? And some of it has to do is Dan, you know, Dan Proffitt on this show. There's that kind of class of media, but professional media and media wranglers that wind up going from media into politics or from journalism into PR and
policy.
And,
yeah.
Right. And then it's like, well, they're my friends and they wouldn't do that on purpose. This is just a coincidence. So I'm not going to cover it. Or I know that they're good. That's not their intent. You know, it's just a kind of simple thing. Like there's that whole feeling where it's so insular in their own thinking about how good they are, what they're doing, or how they're fighting for the right. I mean, I believe most journalists in this country are out there thinking they're saying they're doing what's good for the people, you know, that fourth estate kind of mentality, even if it's completely twisted and wrong and they're, you know, they're blind to what's going on. I think they're still there, but if they don't know, if they don't even see it, like they can't even bring it to the forefront because it's so much of a blind spot because of their friends, because of the people they've worked with. They're the people that they had lunch. You know, there's this idea that it's us. And so we're not going to be bad against us. And you know who doesn't really have an us? Lori Lightfoot. Most of the people who work for Lori Lightfoot aren't in those circles. I mean, those are the things we were warning her about when she was on this podcast, that the people around her were too, you know, they were too unseasoned, or they weren't, you know, they didn't have any of that historical knowledge. And I think it's biting her in the ass in the political sphere too.
Well, she is running for mayor apparently. And she's doing so on what? Besides the Summer of Joy, besides the fact that people are being shot down in the streets. And I used to get upset with, I guess for the lack of a longer definition, I used to be upset with white people with money who would, who would just ignore all those people being shot on the West and South side. But now it's happening, you know, Brian Hopkins and others are freaking out, Lincoln Park and elsewhere on the L Red Line and so forth. And now it's a problem. They didn't see it as a problem before. Now it's a problem. And into all that, she's running for re-election. Has she made, I don't think she's made her official announcement, but that Summer of Joy thing is kind of an official.
Right? Or yeah, and she's been at a couple of public events and hinted at it and said that, well, this isn't the time, but the time will come, you know. So she's all but running, and she's fundraising, so that you don't usually fundraise. I mean, some people do, but you don't usually fundraise just for the hell of it, especially when you're a one-termer, first-termer, who doesn't have a ton of friends that are looking for you to raise money for them. So, yeah, I think I don't know all signs point to that she's running.
Who's going to get it? Who's going to get the money for her? I mean, yeah, she did the casino.
Yeah, she can keep sweet Harding deals, allegedly, just saying, and getting friends of friends and donors to get preferential treatment from the city. And for those who don't know, the city made a big announcement, Lori Lightfoot did this week. It just so happened to be the same day that Boeing was made a huge announcement too, that they were moving their corporate headquarters out of Chicago, which was an amazing coup when they moved here from Seattle in like 2001, I think it was, or 2010.
Yeah, official Chicago was so happy that we got a few suits,
right,
to be in a C-suite. Oh my God, it was so wonderful.
Yeah, right. But. And then of course now they're moving on to greener pastures. And Lightfoot, you know, makes these announcements, but then she announces that, oh yeah, we've got a casino coming. We've guaranteed it's going to be Bally's. It's going to be so great. The city's going to bring in so much money. It's going to be so awesome. And oh yeah, that's going to be temporarily housed at a facility where the owner donated $6,000 to her campaign. Oh, just by the way.
Yeah, I have to do a hat tip to WBEZ because a reporter there ferreted that out, that Lightfoot wanted that temporary site would go actually went to a donor of Lori Lightfoot's. How's the Chicago way?
The Lori? Chicago way is away. Well, hey.
So I wanted to hat tip them.
yeah.
We're in the time now, everybody, with all this going on, we're in the time that I want to call, well, I don't really want to call it so, but it is. It's nut cutting time now, okay? This is the time when candidates have to get money.
It's a short window.
Run against her. It's, you know, it is pressure on them. I don't know where Ray Lopez, you know, Ray Lopez is an interesting character, and I like him, and I like his dogs and his family and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are a few others out there. Lord Willie Wilson is out there. Do you think Paul Vallis is going to get in this race?
I think so. I mean, Paul is, you know, he's a public servant. There's no, that's just to Paul Vallis. You think about it, that's who he is. And he's perennially runs his squeaky chair. Hello.
Yeah.
He's going to run. I think he's the type of guy who sees a problem, wants to fix it, and obsesses over it until he can get a chance to fix it.
Is he too white? I mean, he's white, right? I mean, Greeks are white now in Chicago. We weren't when I was a little kid, but now we're white. So,
right.
What,
I mean, if you're looking at if we're looking at scorecards here, if they handed out candidate baseball cards, you know, there wouldn't be any minority or small power group, you know, markers on his card. He would not be fit into something or neat and tidy like someone part of the LGBTQ community, or somebody who is a minority, or somebody who is from a different race. I mean,
well, he's not Mr. Identity Politics,
right? Exactly.
Not that he's opposed to it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, he's still somewhat of a Democrat. He's not a conservative Republican. I'm not a Republican, but I'm much more conservative than
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, you're right. He doesn't. He's not going to get that lift.
Right.
So it makes it a harder run for him. But I still think he runs. I mean. I think there are plenty of people who want to have influence in the race, but do not want to have their name attached to any of the people who are running so far. And I think Paul Vallis much like a Bill Daley normally does, checks that box for some donors. So I think there's funding there. I think he's going to be able to find someone to back a race for him. But I think it's going to be a long race if he gets into it.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a terrible. I use a friend and I told him not to run because it's a terrible job, and these insiders in this town, I guess, are happy with the town falling apart by the minute. And if they wanted to fall apart, then go ahead, boys. You know, I keep telling Paul to go out to Texas or wherever. His one son is a copper out there. You know, he's got family here, but, you know, get out, you know. But I don't know. I don't know what will happen. I do know that Kim Fox, the aforementioned Kim Fox, put out a lovely, heartwarming tweet to her fellow Soros prosecutor, Chesa Boudin, about the loss of his mother, Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what didn't she mention in that loving tweet about how Kathy was so wonderful and cared so much about the downtrodden? Did she forget the names of the cops that died, were murdered in that Brink Trucks robbery when she was with the Weather Underground helping the Black Liberation Army knock off a $1.6 million robbery in New York?
Right.
And two cops were killed. And Kim Fox, again, tweets this nonsense out because, you know, I guess her Soros contacts, they love Boudin, they love her, and they want this done. But if you're a cop in Chicago and you see the state's attorney gushing sympathy over a woman who was a terrorist, a left-wing terrorist, and involved in the murder of two police officers, I don't know. Is that good politics? Does it matter? Does she even care?
That's the thing. I mean, internal voices. Like, there's no internal monologue. There's no safe company. You could say something like that. I can appreciate why, because they align heavily in their beliefs and views about how the world should be. And
in other words, don't charge anyone with a felony.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the world.
Right. So there's no laws. There's no police in the world they want. But why put that out there? Why give yourself like that part? I don't understand that logic doesn't make sense to me. Like, she's so blind to that, or she feels that somebody who tricks up some cops to lower their weapons so that they can be gun executed is someone that we should be lauding because what? I mean, this is I don't understand.
How's this one? I don't understand how, if I were the editor of a paper, I would be on the phone with political writers, editorialists, columnists, and say, "What the hell? What is going on here? Why don't you examine this? Is anyone interested in this?" You know, I remember my old editor, Jack Fuller, he used to complain that if he dared say, I'm interested. Why are there so many three-car garages? You know, that the paper would have, he said, and if I dare say that publicly, just think out loud, there would be, you know, a series of stories about three-car garages. Why? You know what I mean? It was, or squirrels, a lot of squirrels lately. And then we'd have squirrel stories, you know?
Right.
And he would always say, that's why he doesn't talk, you know, he's passed on now. But he would say, that's why I don't want to say much in meetings, because they just run with it. Well, I'd be on the phone screaming into their ear, get me a bleeping Boudin, Kim Fox story. What's going on? But nothing. And again, I ask everybody to tell me when the dog doesn't bark, when you don't hear, when you don't hear the sound, the words you don't hear, silence is consent. And when you don't hear the words or any discussion, you have to ask yourself, why is that? Huh? All right, listen. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I do have to ask you, you know, now that we're Kim Fox and presumably Lori Lightfoot through her endorsement of Kim Fox is mourning the death of Kathy Boden.
Mm-hmm.
And her kid, Chesa, was raised by wolves in Chicago, by William Ayers of the Weather Underground, and by Bernadine Dorn, who's now at Northwestern, of the Weather Underground, and went out to San Francisco and got George Soros money and then became the prosecutor, and they're trying to recall him now because people can't stand it.
Yeah.
All right. I just gave you a series of stories that should be in the paper, but they don't, you know, but the papers don't want that kind of terrible news because wokeists might be upset.
Right, exactly.
But given all that I just said, if she were alive and outside, you know, walking around alive, wouldn't Kathy Boudin be one of those people standing outside the Supreme Court justice's house?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they would. And she would be, you know, probably offering top dollar for someone to leak information about what might be coming down the pike. I mean, just so they can gin up weeks and weeks of unrest and demonstrations and chaos. I mean, that would not surprise me at the least.
So they are going to, they were at last, before we started this podcast, the idea was they would the people who were on the left who loved the Supreme Court when they controlled it and now hate the Supreme Court when they don't control it, were planning on marching at churches and outside the homes of conservative justices. And I'm not trying to debate the issue of abortion, life, pro-life. That's not the issue. Everybody has to come to that on their own, right?
Absolutely.
But what do you make of all that with the kind of pressure on the court?
It is not the place of the people to influence the judges. It's not. I mean, that's not the way the system's set up. That's not the way the system should run. The president picks the judges. The president's elected by the people. That's the people's voice. And that's where it should end. This idea that we are going to browbeat or pressure or push judges into one way or another because about standing outside their homes or protesting outside where they work or threatening them or whatever it is.
Their kids, their wives,
right,
their daughters.
Absolutely. Their husbands. Or anybody attached to them. You know, right. I mean, God forbid, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg's brother runs a music shop right down the street from our house, and I used to walk by it every day on my way to the train to take the red line or the bus, which I won't be doing anytime soon. And and I could see people out there protesting in front of his shop if she had done something the other way. You know, if
they'd be horrified,
right?
I'd be like,
what? Why?
Why would you do that? You know, if conservatives went after Ruth Bader Ginsburg's house,
right,
or his or her brother's music shop, I would lose my mind. I'd be so angry. I'd want to kick some ass.
I'd walk down there and try to teach them all a lesson about what the hell, how this thing works. And it's that insanity. And, you know, the legality is why we have the system the way it is. And, you know, you can try to remedy something with rushing a law through. That's one way if you control the levers of power. But fortunately, it's not guaranteed and that you can have your way when you want it. So you got to work within the system. And this people who I get that I can totally appreciate the emotion of why people are so amped up about this whole case. That's not lost on me. That's not the way we should be living as people. We shouldn't. No one can see this, that us ratcheting everything up every time there's something is building and is leading us as a culture to something terrible. I mean, there's something way beyond anything you and I have thought about coming if culture stays on this footing and this path towards just complete and utter chaos.
You know what it's called? The tomahawks. Once the tomahawks come out, they're not going away. And I don't want the tomahawks to come out, but it looks like when you're, you know, threatening Supreme Court justices,
mm-hmm.
after and ignoring the fact that the last time this kind of talk went public and crazy, mm-hmm. guy from Illinois tried to massacre Republican House members. And then what do you want? You want some good old boys from the South to come up with their AR-15s and revenge? Is that what you want?
No.
I don't want that.
No. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And it's, you know, it's, as John, you always say, all politics is local. And if someone, if the court rules one thing, it can't supersede the ability of your local government to establish and run itself. So if you don't like the court, to what the court's done, then run for office locally and start changing it. Then
exactly.
Impact your local offices, impact your local races, talk to your local politicians. Don't rush to someone in the Supreme Court and march outside their house and threaten them. That's just not, you're as much a problem as these people think they're fighting against as they are trying to fix it. And it's
on Mother's Day.
Yeah. On Mother's Day. I know. I mean, I get the poeticism about it, but come on.
It is Mother. We're taping this, recording this on Mother's Day. And, I have to say, Jeff, when we talk about Mother's Day and all the, you know, like, oh, we're going to here, we're going there, we're going to, like, take my mom to Mykonos and, you know, the restaurant, come out and have a meal with us. We should remember those who have lost their moms. And I'm thinking about you, buddy, and your mom and dad.
Thanks, John. Yeah, absolutely. It's. This time of year it's tough, and you definitely it amplifies, you know, any loss and any you know, sadness, but it also helps you remember good times, and you know, it's an opportunity to remember what you Mother's Day's past and celebrate those memories. So you know, it's kind of how you make it, but it is tough. I appreciate that, John, and of course, you know, we all have our struggle, so
yeah, I know, buddy, but you're always so cheerful and upbeat and positive, and I know that when you're quiet, I you know you know, a friend of mine, and she's a former colleague, a liberal, you know, back in the days when, you know, you could be friends with people of different parties, and she used to say, whatever you're thinking about someone else, you don't know what they're carrying, you don't know how heavy their burden is, and you don't know, you haven't walked in their shoes. And I always think of that, you know.
Yeah, my mom always would say it in life and everything, just always consider the source, and that goes for everything, you know, the person who's talking in front of you, the person who's standing before you. Consider the source. Consider where what's could be impacting them. How, whatever it is, where they came from, what they're dealing with that day, you know, and that goes. I think the world needs a little bit more of that.
Yeah, we do, and we need a little bit more Kevlar if you're going to ride on on the expressways. So, or you know, CTA.
Yeah,
but now that you're driving, be careful on those expressways, my friend.
Always careful.
Maybe bulletproof glass on the
car. I'll see if I can get it in the budget.
So, Jeff, we'll be back in a few days, but just wanted to thank you for being here and for everybody listening to us. And
yeah.
And Lori Lightfoot, who's listening, I know, with her tiny fists clenched in rage, please put that Phallus Maximus down, Lori. That is a scary weapon. All right. For all of you listening here, and for Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio, my longtime friend, we've done, I don't know how many hundreds of these, and sooner
almost,
or later,
almost 350.
And we're now getting ready because we're getting pressure. People want to advertise badly.
Yes.
I'm not advertised because we don't sell advertising.
No. Sponsor us.
Sponsor us badly that we have to make a decision or two or four.
And to all those who have reached out to us, we haven't forgotten you or loved, or we love you. And we're just very slow on the uptake, if you will.
Yeah, we're overwhelmed because, but you know what, Jeff, as Don Barzini said, you know, we can, after all, we are not communists, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, we have to live too. And for all of you, and for Jeff, and for Christine, and for how many cats do you have now? God, dang it. Whatever, how many passels of cats? I can't. My allergies are acting up, and I'm not even with you.
Just because of the cameras on, not even on. Jeez.
And for me, John Cass, husband, father, editor in chief of johncassnews.com, your favorite website. Thanks for joining us on another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.